I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. Here I am, Lord.
confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Righteous God, our merciful Master, you own the earth and all its peoples, and you give us all that we have. Inspire us to serve you with justice and wisdom, and prepare us for the joy of the day of your coming, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, "The Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm." Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid to waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. The day will be the day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blasts and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For full and a terrible end, he will make of all inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. You turned us back to the dust and say, turn back, O children of earth. You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes, in the evening it is dried up and withered.
For we are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath. When you are angry, all of our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation? A reading from 1 Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon the pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for the day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put our breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
According to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the two talents made two more talents. But the one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I've made it five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made you two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our parable, we're given another example rooted in money, in economics. Perhaps Jesus knows how attached we are to our proverbial wallets, that these financial illustrations would give us some emotional connection to what he's talking about. While on the surface, the parable seems to celebrate and could even encourage trading or even gambling in the marketplace, I wonder if at the heart of the parable, Jesus is asking us to consider what faithfulness looks like in a time of waiting. What does faithfulness look like in a time of waiting? As we await the second coming of Christ, what are we to do with what God has given to us? Do we graciously give and share what God has given to us in the world? Or do we hoard it? Do we hide it? Do we squander it? At our annual meeting last week, to paraphrase something our treasurer said, that in the business world you have to spend money to make money. But for us as a church, we spend money to do ministry, and we do it in the community. God's economy is a different type of economy that we're invited to participate in. It's not the way of the world. Perhaps that's part of the reason why churches in North America are floundering. It's because they're burying what God has given them, negligent in opportunities to share the gospel. How are we negligent in our sharing of the gospel as a congregation? How are you negligent in sharing the gospel in your own life? I know I am. We're given the ability and opportunity to be gracious in this world, and both on an individual and collective level, we at times fail to take and seize that opportunity. Faithfulness in a time of waiting may call us to be even more lavish when it comes to extending grace to others. As Bishop Robert Barron puts it, grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. Essentially, after we receive the good news, the gospel, as I said a few weeks ago, that the gospel is God loves you, period, right? After you've received that news, do we share it or do we bury it? Much of our problem, I believe, is that we bury it. We're afraid to share it. Churches have made idols out of institutions and buildings that were designed to help share the good news, but have now become the very things that we need to sustain. So we bury the good news because we're afraid we might lose in our giving and in our sharing. But grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. And regardless of where one falls on the ideological spectrum of American Christianity, we all bury the gospel in one way or another when we think the gospel is not enough. It's not enough to engage people with God's good news that God loves them. We just think it's not enough. It has to be about something else. Which is why we see Christianity in our culture reduced at times to morality, to programs, to entertainment, to false promises of prosperity. We are often tempted to make the gospel about something else. And part of the reason behind that is so that we can sustain our buildings and our institutions. But when we do that, we end up digging ourselves into a hole. When we bury the gospel, we then find ourselves living in a world where we're trading in revenge rather than mercy, and we're choosing alienation as opposed to reconciliation. But the good news is that Jesus' faithfulness prevails. Even when there are times that we would rather sit in the darkness, even when we would squander those opportunities to extend God's grace to others, Jesus' faithfulness prevails. Amid our reluctancy to take a chance, our resistance to extend grace, the good news of God's love for us as Christians is found in Jesus, who did not resist extending grace to the world, who did not squander the opportunity to share God's love with all people. We see the faithfulness of Jesus on the cross, and he was buried due to our mistrust and our brokenness, which is a reminder that faithfulness is not something we can do on our own. When we succumb to the temptation to make the gospel about other things, we put ourselves in the driver's seat. But when we seek to be faithful in a time of waiting, we know it's not about us, but it's about God. It's not our work, but it's God's work. And the Holy Spirit gives us that faith to endure. Today, Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel are going to live in God's new economy with us as they receive the sacrament of holy baptism. And in holy baptism, they will be claimed and chosen as God's own. Through their joys and sorrows in both life and death, God's love will never, never, ever leave them. They're given a promise. They're extended a grace that we pray will never be buried, that they would extend that to others. When we look at 1 Thessalonians in our second lesson today, keeping awake, I think, requires practice, preparation. We must practice our faith to be so that we might be alert to the opportunities in which God provides for us to extend God's grace in the world. And the good news for Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel is that they're not entering this journey alone. They're entering a community. They're forever belonging to a family of faith. In living the baptized life, we pray that they will continue to live among God's faithful people. This is all from the baptismal rite that we're about to hear, right? They're invited to live among God's faithful people, to receive the word and the sacrament of Holy Communion, to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, that they would get to know the Holy Scriptures. All says that in the baptismal rite. Why does it say that there? Well, immediately following all that, it says, so that they may learn to trust God. Immersing yourself in the good news, in what is essential and foundational for us as Christians, so that we might learn to trust God. The burying of the talent, which is like 20 years worth of wages, is a lack of trust of what God can do and what God will provide. Theology of scarcity versus a theology of abundance. We pray that those baptized today and all the baptized are invited not just to learn, but to pray and sit with community, to enter into a life of prayer, of worshiping a God that we encounter in the creed and the scriptures. And it is from that baptismal rite in which we're invited to be immersed in all these things and shifts to an invitation then to proclaim Christ in word and deed, to care for others and the world God has made, and to work for justice and peace. Grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more in turn we receive. This is not an economy of the world. The economy of our world, there's winners and losers. There's haves and have-nots. But in God's economy, there is growth when we give away, when we share. There is life when there is death. So coming out of those baptismal waters, Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel will be children of God, children of the light in a dark and broken world. They will daily be invited to share that light and shine that light in the darkness as they die and rise with Christ each day. They and all the baptized are invited to extend God's grace, God's love and faithfulness, knowing that it frees us to live as a people liberated in this world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 10, we heard, "For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him." That's good news to cling on a baptismal day, isn't it? Whether we are awake or asleep, it's God's faithfulness that's won for us our salvation. Jesus has done the work. And we're not doing it alone. Because immediately after that verse, in verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." And Paul's words are echoing in our community today, because I believe that those who are being baptized today have been built up and will continue to be built up. They're loved. They're told that they belong here in this community of faith. And I believe they will continue to do the same for us. So may we share the grace of God and not bury the gospel, not make it something else, but rely on those key foundational basics of faith to immerse ourselves in, to pray and meditate and guide and speak to us anew each and every day that we've received, knowing at the end of the day that God is faithful and that we have learned and grown to trust God and to trust the truth that grace is a gift, and the more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite forward those who are going to be baptized today and their sponsor.
God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world.
I present Nevaeh Lynn Burks, Mary Louise Burks, Daniel Ezekiel Strout, and Isabella Jane Strout for baptism.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace of and love of God, do you desire to have these children baptized into Christ?
I do.
As you bring these children to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people, bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach them the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments,
place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture them in faith and prayer, so that your children may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help these children grow in the Christian faith and life, to nurture these people in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit, and to help them live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church?
I do.
People of God, do you promise to support Nevaeh, Mary, Daniel, and Isabella, and pray for them in their new lives in Christ? I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Holy God. You are the creator of the waters of the earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your son Jesus promised to send the spirit to us that the world may know your peace. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into those who are here baptized. By your spirit, adopt us all as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Nevaeh Lynn, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mary Louise, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Daniel Ezekiel, step up a little bit. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Isabella Jane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life.
Amen.
Sustain Nevaeh with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Sustain Mary with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Sustain Daniel with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever.
Amen.
Sustain Isabella with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Nevaeh, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Mary, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and are marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Daniel, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Isabella, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us all welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming world to all. We truly celebrate this day and welcome these young ones into our faith and our life together. Please rise as you're able.
Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious God, you give talents and gifts to all your people, and you equip the church to serve. Turn us from fear and self-serving ways, that we use our talents to glorify you, encourage our neighbor, Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You have been our dwelling place from one generation to another. Sustain the life of the planet, protect farmlands and harvest, direct all people in wise stewardship of all Earth's resources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call us to honesty and integrity. Instill these values in the hearts of all nations and their leaders. Free any who are oppressed, expose all corruption, and bring redemption to victims of injustice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all the baptized, especially the newly baptized, Nevaeh, Mary, Daniel, and Isabella, that we may encourage one another and build up each other in love and kindness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Together we pray with and for our sisters and brothers in the Holy Land, lifting up prayers for peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and Palestine. Bless Palestinians and Israelis who dare to take risks for peace. Guide and refresh all those who accompany them. Hear us, O God. You teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Where there is sickness or sorrow, bring healing, and where there is loneliness, reveal your love and community. We remember before you Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Phyllis, Dave, Brent, the family of Harry Miller, Theodore, Cheryl, Rick, Bill, Jessica, Wesley, Wyatt, Jim, the family of Kelly, and our homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the faith formation and ministries of our church. Give to all children, youth, and adults who study your word the breastplate of faith and love. Shape us by your love and show us how to encourage one another. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you are faithful in all generations. For the promise of life and the rest, for the witness of those who have died in faith, especially Harry, we praise your goodness. Hear us, O God.
We offer our spoken prayers and those held in our hearts, trusting in yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace. Thank you.
Gracious God, we give thanks each time we remember you and your blessings. Receive what we have offered now, our gifts, our time, and our whole selves. Bless our thank offerings and the work of the women of the ELCA that these offerings make possible. Make us good and faithful stewards of your gifts, that all people know the bounty of your love. We pray in the name of Christ.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time, I'd like to invite forward those participating in Children's Church and helping with the distribution of the sacrament. We're going to be receiving the sacrament continuously. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. Grape juice will be on the lectern side. We're going to do it by method of intinction, so you'll receive the consecrated host and dip it into the chalice of either consecrated wine or grape juice, whichever is your preference. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
hear the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Meal, you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be people in the world and proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community?
I think we have a visual this morning of the words that were found in a devotion for today. People who have learned to work together in a team accomplish much more than people who do everything alone. When you are a part of a loving and respectful team who share this one dream and goal, it is hard work, but the rewards and the victory are great. Booker T. Washington once said, "If you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else." On behalf of the women of the church, I would like to thank everybody who has had an opportunity to be a part of lifting other people up this morning, and we thank you. I would just remind you that this is our local outreach. We also have envelopes in your bulletin today that will go to the outreach that is beyond our congregation also. So again, a big thank you from the women of the church.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.